to listen to the Left Traffic Podcast.
What is up, Left Traffic Nation? Welcome to episode 135 of the Left Traffic Podcast. I am your host, the Professor Brandon Crowd. Hope you all had a great weekend, and what a weekend it was at Chicagoland. Man, it is always fun to get to a new track, see new grandstands, new fan area, new garage area, new media area. The track could not have been in a more perfect location to where my Airbnb was at. Traffic for me was not an issue for any day, particularly due to the parking location provided by Chicagoland, which was awesome. And speaking of that, I can't thank Chicagoland enough for the media credentials, the hospitality. So awesome. So the one thing I noticed about the track itself is that while it's a mile and a half track, only a half mile smaller than my home track, Michigan, it looked a lot smaller than a mile and a half. It really kind of looked like a mile track to me. Michigan, you got to turn your head for the corners. And I kind of felt like if I held my head straight, I could see both corners out of like the periphery there. So there's that. The infield, the garage area is huge. You've got all three series in the infield, basically. There were all three series in the infield. That's roughly around 100 haulers, give or take a few, along with motorhomes of the drivers, infield parking, all that good stuff. There was not a lot of room for infield camping. I was surprised to see that. I guess not so surprised once I put it into perspective of how much stuff NASCAR's got to fit in there. But let's see what else. The fan area was so cool. General RV had a bunch of RVs for people to walk in, check out. And I got to tell you, the luxury that they can fit into an RV these days, from patios, island sinks, entertainment setup, outdoor, it's just crazy. They had the pool with guys being pulled by this rope function that was attached to the bed of a pickup truck and pulling these guys doing tricks in the pool, which is cool. The barbecue area was awesome. So cool to see these different barbecue setups. And they had a carnival, which was pretty cool. Not sure if you saw the video I posted, but the Ferris wheel guy, I don't know if he abandoned his post or what during that storm that came in, but that Ferris wheel was going when it should not have been going, that's for sure. And when I say storm, I mean storm. The last time I heard wind make the kind of noise that I heard Sunday was when I was in the Caribbean and a tropical storm was coming in. It was nuts. Sure, you guys saw on Twitter, tents were blowing, signage got damaged. It was intense. And now apparently I am the holder of the PETM curse, as it was looking to be perfect all 3 days, Friday and Saturday. It was hot as hell out there, but that was expected. And then these storms come in. So I will accept the curse temporarily. I feel that I should be wiped clean if my next race is without issue. So I'll take it for now, but I don't plan on holding that one for much longer. It's kind of a weird schedule. And it makes me wonder if they might be testing something out for next year. For example, MIS for years past, Cup guys qualified Friday. They'd have one long practice Friday afternoon and qualify around 5 o'clock or so, and then have two early practices Saturday morning. This year at MIS, they ran both practices on Friday and qualified Saturday before the Xfinity race. Chicagoland, the exact opposite. They qualified after the Xfinity race. So, I'm wondering if they're doing some testing here to see what might help viewership, media, maybe bring extra fans in. Does it work if we do cup qualifying before the Xfinity race to maybe draw? Does it maybe draw if we do it after? Will fans stick around after the race? I'm kind of curious what their thought is with that. Let's see what else. Got to hang out with Brad from MIS, even ran into him at the bar, had a drink, talked racing, MIS, lap traffic. Very cool to see him there. And all right, so I got a couple stories here for you guys. So I'm sure if you're following along on Twitter this weekend, you may have seen a tweet or two about my glasses. So here's what happened. Friday afternoon, I'm walking around the garage area. Don't remember where I was at. Had my prescription sunglasses on and my regular glasses with the, you know, one side tucked into my polo. All of a sudden, I look down and they are gone. So I am flipping out. I am backtracking my steps, hoping to see them somewhere on the ground or something. Maybe I had just dropped them, but of course not. So I checked in with the front desk at the media center, left them a business card so they could call me if someone found them, which of course didn't happen. And all I'm thinking is it is just Friday afternoon. I've got 72 hours that I am going to have to wear prescription sunglasses, which meant I had to wear those through the night race for the truck race inside the media center. I had to be that guy that wears sunglasses inside and at night. Fortunately, and very thankful to the attendant of the press box, he had a spare pair of glasses at home, which he brought to me on Saturday. They were definitely a little weaker, but it did make a world of difference, and I was at least able to get by squinting with those inside, which was very nice of him. Couldn't be more thankful for that. All right, and one last story here. You guys may have also seen a tweet that Clint Bowyer made fun of me. So here's the preface to that. So I'm standing at the bullpen area for interviews at qualifying time. And I'm going to tell you, it's a little intimidating. You got, you know, Bob Pockrass, you got Dustin Long, you got Claire B. Lang, all of these real media people, right? And then you got me. And I am not stepping on anyone's toes. I am not there to get in the way of the real guys that got to put out content read and heard by a lot more than listen to this show. So, you know, I don't want to interrupt them in any way, shape, or form. You know, so Clint walks over and it's just me and him. And so, like, you know, get the microphone up and I ask him a question. And midway through his response, everyone rushes over and throws their microphones up there. And he finishes his answer. And I go, all right, thanks, Clint. And he goes, what? That's it? I go, Clint, man, I'm still new at this. And he goes, oh, no kidding. I couldn't tell. And Claire goes to ask a question, and he stops her. And he goes, he looks back over at me. He goes, you got to work on your radio voice too, man. Listen to her. And it was a good chuckle. You guys will hear that in a little bit when I drop in the compilation of clips from this weekend a little later in the show. All right. So that's a recap from my weekend at Chicago. Huge thanks again to Chicagoland. Had a blast. We'll definitely be back. But what about for today's show? Well, first, before I get to today's show, don't forget the Lap Traffic Podcast is a part of the Big Heads Media Network. Big Heads Media has you covered from sports to entertainment. So go check out BigHeadsMedia.com. And, all right, I got another big show, of course, lined up for you guys today. Fresh off his win from Chicagoland, Cole Custer will be on. Plus, I got the few clips to drop in for you guys later on as well. I got Trucks, Xfinity, and Cup from Chicago. Social media shout-outs. No silly season yet. Not yet. Probably have some silly season talk soon, though. Brian Newdorf will recap that weather that made its way through Chicago, and he'll have you set for the weather this weekend at Daytona. Your lucky dog lap down picks. Fantasy, we got a new leader. So we'll find out who that is to close this thing out. And all right, I think it's time to get the show on the road. Let's get Mr. Cole Custer on the line. Lap Traffic Nation joining me on the line for his seventh appearance on the Lap Traffic Podcast. He is the winner of this past weekend's Camping World 300, driver of the 00 with Stewart Haas Racing, Mr. Cole Custer. Sir, what's up, brother? Absolutely. Anytime. So glad to have you back. What a weekend. It was awesome to be there in person to see you pick up one of these things, man. Just a dominating performance Saturday. You led 151 of 200 laps. You made it look easy, but talk about that win.
I don't know how we could have made that car any better, honestly. It was something every driver dreams about. So, it's one of the places that I've always wanted to win at because it's really hot, slick, and a place you can move around a lot. So every driver loves Chicagoland. But really, I mean, it was just a matter of kind of managing the race and making sure we just kind of execute good, didn't make mistakes. So you don't get to have many cars like that.
Yeah, no, man, it was unbeatable. You know, it was one of those times where it works out where the fastest and dominating car was able to get it done.
Yeah, for sure. You don't get to have it like that very often. No. I thought it was something was going to go wrong probably, or there was going to be a late race caution or something had to happen. But we got kind of lucky and didn't have too many issues or anything.
Well, you know, it's funny you mentioned that. So let me ask you this. You say, you know, and I think that's the case of a lot of guys when they have that strong, dominating car, like you just wait for something to go wrong because, you know, in racing, you just don't have those perfect days too often. You know, does that weigh on you a little bit, that the struggle that the Cup guys are having, you know, your teammates, you know, granted it was the day after, you know, but Stuart Haas guy struggled a little bit. But it always seems like there's a glitch or something. You know, Kevin Harvick's had strong days and you know, has had things, you know, not go his way. Boyer, Elmer, you know, everyone's kind of had something go wrong throughout the season. Does that weigh in on you at all, you know, at a race like that?
It doesn't really affect me at all. I mean, our deal is kind of separate. But, sure. I mean, I don't know. Everybody's kind of been down on the Cup program for some reason this year. I mean, I know they haven't won a race yet, but they've been, I think, you know, every single car is in the top 13 in points or something, and they've had really good speed. It's just, I think, you know, a lot of this racing now in the Cup Series, it comes down to circumstance and what your track position is. So I don't, you know, I wouldn't be too worried about where the Cup program is right now, honestly.
Sure. No, God, no, I'm with you there. All right. So, like I said, it was awesome to be there. I was down there in Victory Lane, and I've got a great clip of you climbing out of the car. And your little victory cheers there with two cans of beer, that didn't happen to be inspired by anyone by the name of Stone Cold Steve Austin, was it?
I'd say it definitely was. But, my PR guy actually told me to do it. And I think, you know, all our guys actually, since I've been, you know, like 16 and wasn't able to drink, and now I can drink. We've all kind of been dreaming of the day that we can do that. So it was nice to kind of do something a little bit different.
That's all. No, I love, dude, as soon as I saw that, that's the first thing I thought of was Old Stone Cold cheersing them together on the turnbuckle. So that was very cool. You pulled it off perfectly.
I appreciate it.
All right, so let me ask you this. At the end of stage one, it was you, Reddick, and Bell, 1, 2, 3. You guys are all getting wins. You're out there competing hard. It's been a lot of fun to watch. What's it like racing against these guys that are all making a battle for this thing? And what sort of extra confidence does it give you knowing that you haven't fallen off pace? And if one guy gets a win next week, you know, you're right back there, you know, the week or after or 2 weeks after that.
Yeah, I mean, the three of us have really all been strong the whole year and competing with each other and really been making each other better, I think, throughout the whole year also. So it's definitely, it's been a fun season, and, you know, we're just trying to get better and better every race that we're out there. I think, you know, for our team, me and Mike, my crew chief, haven't worked together at a lot of these tracks. So going back for the second time will help us out a ton. So I think we're just going to get better and better throughout the year.
That's scary, man. That's awesome. It's crazy to think, you know, you have four wins already to get better after that, man. It's going to be fun to watch. Restarts all weekend, all three series were a little crazy. You know, you were out front for most of it, but what was it like from your perspective with these restarts with guys, you know, going low, going high, taking it three and four wide there?
Yeah, I mean, Chicago is one of those tracks where you can kind of make any lane work on a restart. So you're really just trying to, you know, if there's a hole, you're going to take it and you're going to go, you know, do whatever you can to try and get the guy in front of you. So it's, I think, you know, it's just one of those tracks that kind of invites that kind of stuff.
You know, I talked to a couple of the other guys down there in the garage this weekend. You know, Chicago's now definitely one of the more older track surfaces out there. Making a comparison to Atlanta, did it feel that way in terms of the grooves? You know, Atlanta's got a couple lanes that come into play throughout the race. Does Chicago kind of have an Atlanta feel to it with the older track surface, tire wear, and the grooves that end up coming in?
Well, it's definitely wore out somewhat like Atlanta. It's still not quite to Atlanta's wore outness, I guess I would say. I mean, it still has some grip, but you're definitely slipping and sliding around, and it's in, you know, the dead hot heat of the summer. So you're, it's extremely hot out always. So it's one of those tracks every driver loves just because it's wore out and you're slipping and sliding. I don't think it's quite to Atlanta, though, yet.
Fair enough. So a lot of the media were asking a lot of drivers this weekend, with this being the last Daytona over or around the 4th of July weekend, is there any sentiment loss for you with the fact that they're going to be moving the this weekend next year on the schedule?
I didn't know exactly where they were moving the race, so I honestly don't know.
I believe it is. Well, I know for the Cup guys, it is the last. It's the cutoff race before the playoffs start. So you guys still might have one or two more, but so it's getting moved to the September-ish on the schedule next year.
Okay, I mean it'll still be pretty hot out then. So I think that track definitely does well with heat. I mean it makes it a little bit brutal in the crowd, but I think it puts on better racing.
Absolutely. No, I couldn't agree with you more there. All right, so we got the big 4th of July holiday coming up this weekend. Any plans for you that you like to do around the 4th of July? Any celebrations that you got going on?
I think actually a group of my friends and stuff are going to go down to Savannah and try and I've never been there before, so that should be pretty cool. But I don't know. That's really all we had planned, I think. Obviously, we're going to spend the weekend down in Daytona. But you know, that's about all I got.
Awesome. So will you stick around for the Cup race, or will you head out Friday after you guys are done?
I'll probably head out Friday, yeah. We're going to try and enjoy our 4th of July weekend.
Absolutely. I get that completely. All right, so, Cole, before I get you out of here, I got to tell you a little funny story. So the Lap Traffic Podcast has a fantasy league with about, I don't know, 60, 70 players in it or so, and we don't just pick Cup. I love all three series, so all three series are incorporated into the Lap Traffic Fantasy. You got to pick a truck, Xfinity, and a Cup driver if those series are running on any given weekend. So I have not done very well in the Lap Traffic Fantasy League. It seems whoever I take has a bad week, and it's been that way for about a year and a half. And I think I may have broken that streak because I took you this past weekend and you got it done. So, Cole, I am hoping that you cure my funk in the Lap Traffic Fantasy League.
I hope so, too. Hopefully you pick me more often.
So that's the thing. Like, I get nervous because I don't want to take it. Like, I feel like anybody I take, I jinx them, it seems like. So I'm like, oh, man, I don't want to, you know. But, no, so it worked out. So, no, hopefully we can ride these wins into victory a little bit more often here for me. Colt, where can everybody keep up with you on social media?
Yeah, I'm on Twitter and Instagram. On Twitter, it's just Cole Custer, and on Instagram, it's Cole Custer 00. So if you want to give me a follow, I'd really appreciate it.
That's awesome, man. Lap Traffic Nation, huge thanks to Cole Custer, driver of the 00 with Stewart House Racing. Cole, always a pleasure to talk with you. Thank you so much for the support of the show. Thanks for coming on. Good luck this weekend, and have a great 4th of July, man.
Thank you. Thanks for having me on.
Absolutely. We'll talk to you soon, man.
Appreciate it.
Yep. Lap Traffic Nation, how awesome is that? Cole Custer, 7th time on the show. I'm going to assume he likes to come on because, you know, after 7, you know, if he didn't, he would say no. So awesome. So thankful for Cole to call in like he does. He's welcome anytime, of course. And you may have noticed, I may have forgotten to turn his mic on when I welcomed him onto the show there. So that's why there was that little edit blip there at the start of that interview. But nothing lost there. So awesome to have Cole on. Can't wait to talk to him again soon. And I think it is time to talk a little racing from this past weekend at Chicago. All right, let's talk some trucks. Brandon Jones picks up the Stage 1 win. Grant Enfinger with the Stage 2 win. And race winner, Mr. Brett Moffitt. I mean, what more could we ask for, ladies and gentlemen? Hill and Sauter on the front row in Sauter's first race back after his one race suspension from the on-track incident with Mr. Hill. Are you kidding me? like I said, what more could we ask for? I mean, that's headlines in itself right there. But issues for Thor Sport. Crafton with an engine issue started at the back. Rhodes was smoking at the start. And Grant potentially gave another one away as he had a dominating truck. Sauter fell back to fifth on the start. Unfortunately, we did not get to see anything fun transpire with Hill and Sauter. Enfinger able to get to the lead with 25 to go, but Brandon Jones with a ton of momentum was able to take the position away from Grant down the backstretch, picks up the position on the last lap, and picks up the Stage 1 win. So it was an exciting weekend of racing off the get-go with the truck race. Wouldn't have expected anything less, though, to be honest with you. Decker brings out the yellow early Stage 2. You know, there's a lot that could be said there. There's a lot that has been said on social media. You know, it seems like it's just not a matter, or it's not a matter of if, but a matter of when this happens with Natalie during the truck races. You know, I get the criticism. I understand the criticism. I understand that Twitter, I get everything that's gone down with this. And I'm not saying I disagree. You know, it's still early. And it's just a matter of, you know, seeing if she can start putting some things together, because there is some competition coming up. And we all know who I'm talking about there. Stage 2, man, that felt like a quick and fast stage there. They had to run a few extra laps of caution under the Stage 1 break, burned 10 laps there due to a mix-up in the lineup, so that really cut the amount of green flag racing that we had the potential to run for Stage 2. Hashtag NASCAR fix that 2020. Thank you. These guys were crazy on the restarts all weekend long, and even after the restarts, watching these guys come out of Turn 4 was so much fun to watch. Grant picks up the Stage 2 win there, as I mentioned. Stage 3. Enfinger, issues on the restart, fell back and never really able to get back to the front. Truck struggled in traffic, no pun intended. And Moffitt in an unsponsored truck, which is crazy the issues this dude has had getting sponsors, wins the race, is the defending champion, but nonetheless seems to have sponsor issues. Ran well all day up in the top five at the end of both stages and is there to pick up the win just 2 weeks after his inherited win. And I know anyone will take a win, but I'm sure this one felt good to get crossing the line first there. Little shorter race notes here, guys. Did not have the computer, was not lugging a computer with me, because who knows, I probably would have lost that too, like my glasses. So some condensed race notes for this weekend here. Some notables. Brandon Jones finished second. Awesome run for him there. Burton in fourth. Hill fifth. Gilliland sixth. Crafton rebounded to an eighth place finish there. And Decker, even with the spin, able to get back out there, finished 14th. Chastain, quiet day. Finished seventh. Made up a lot of points ground. He is only 10 points out of the top 20. And Sauter is still 7 points outside of the top eight. So right now, it will be at this point, basically, I say that, Gilliland and Burton, who would not make it in on points, because obviously Ross is going to make up those 10 points, and both Sauter, I expect Sauter to get back into the top eight, but both those guys are going to be able to make the playoffs there. And keep in mind, there are only four more races for guys like Todd Gilliland, Sheldon Creed, Harrison Burton, Ben Rhodes, Grant Enfinger, Stuart Friesen to solidify this guaranteed playoff spots. Only four more races. We got Kentucky, Pocono, Eldora, and MIS before it is a lock for these guys. Looking forward to that. Two of the next four races for the Truck Series are going to be Thursday night races, which is pretty awesome. We got Kentucky Thursday, July 11th, which is the next time we will see trucks on the track. And Eldora is Thursday, August 1st. So definitely looking forward to those two races as well as the rest of the Truck Series there. All right, let's move over to the Xfinity race. Cole Custer picks up the Stage 1 win. Joey Logano with the Stage 2 win, and race winner, you heard him a little bit ago, Mr. Cole Custer. Custer able to pass Logano on lap 3, able to build up a second lead in just 6 laps. Logano finished second, but never really felt like he was a huge threat to the Xfinity guys, which, you know, could be good. Yellow out early as Allgaier goes around in turn 2 on lap 11. They restart with Logano and Custer. Logano fell back to 5th. Stage 2 was all Custer. Yellow out early with 13 to go as Ryan C. goes around. Custer and Riddick pitted as Logano and Bell stayed out, which kind of caught me by surprise there a little bit. Custer restarts 13th and finishes Stage 2 in 3rd. Hashtag tires mattered. And Logano was able to pick up the Stage 2 win. Custer and Jones on the front row for the start of Stage 3. Custer clears the 19 on old tires. Logano able to get up to second, made it interesting for a minute. But Cole able to close this thing out, as you heard a little bit ago. Some notables here. Jeremy Clements with back-to-back top 15s. And the big three all finished in the top 10. Custer in first, Bell in third. And Reddick was struggled a little bit there, to say the least. Recovered with a 10th place finish. Over to the standings for the Xfinity Series. We got Tyler Reddick, Christopher Bell, Cole Custer, Austin Cindric, Justin Allgaier, Chase Briscoe, Noah Gregson, John Hunter, Michael Annette, Justin Haley, Brandon Jones, Ryan Sieg, and Greg Galding in 13th. So here's why I mentioned that. Granted, the Xfinity Series has a longer regular season than the Truck Series. The points drop off from 12th to 13th with Gray Galding in 13th is pretty significant. 98 points separate Sieg in 12th and Galding in 13th. Not impossible, but definitely a challenge. So our top 12 may be set unless a crazy upset happens and someone gets a win outside of the top 13, which is possible. Another road course or two coming up for those guys. So anything could happen there. Next Xfinity race will be this Friday night from Daytona, and props to race sponsor Circle K for adding Firecracker to the sponsor name of the race, the Circle K Firecracker 250. Looking forward to some Friday, Saturday night racing over the holiday weekend. That's for sure. All right. Let's talk a little Cup. Denny Hamlin picks up the Stage 1 win. Kevin Harvick with the Stage 2 win. And race winner, first time, Alex Bowman, the showman, gets it done. So let me tell you guys, there was at least a 25-degree change in weather from when the rain came through. I mean, it went from hot to like, I could go for a windbreaker kind of weather there. It was crazy. Got a partial second night race, which I'll take because I don't get to go to too many night races, which is always fun. They got 11 laps in before the 3-hour-ish delay, and almost everybody took tires. It was crazy. They left the cars on pit road, and I know they wrap them tight and all that, but that was not your typical little rain that came through. That was a storm that came through. I was surprised there was not any electrical issues on those things. So kudos to all the crew guys for getting those cars wrapped up tight for that rain. Harvick may have given another win away. You know, it is what it is. Stuff happens. But I got to tell you, what a strong day for HMS. Bowman gets the win, which I'll get to in a minute. Chevy definitely made some noise this weekend. Toyota, not a great weekend. Only one started in the top 10 and only two finished in the top 10. But 5 Chevys in the top 10. Bowman picks up his first win. Larson has a strong finish and made a charge for it. Johnson with a top 5. Byron with a top 10. Dillon with a top 10. So HMS, CGR, RCR, all with something positive to walk away from this weekend that kicked off summer portion of the schedule. Bowman, no longer a bridesmaid, got it done in dramatic fashion, which will definitely make it memorable. And how about Larson, a part of 2 memorable finishes at Chicagoland, back-to-back years, back-to-back second-place finishes for Larson. He takes the lead with, I think it was 3 or 4 to go. Bowman able to make the crossover pass right back, holds on for the win. And I'm calling it right now, Larson gets the win at Chicago next year. There's no way he's going to let that get through and past him. And Chicago, man, has delivered 2 years in a row for some exciting finishes. And now, Alex Bowman, the only driver to finish in every possible position available. Not sure that means anything, but hey, any record or stat you can hold your own is pretty cool. And once you get the first one out of the way, they just seem to start rolling in. If you look at Chase Elliott, took him a minute to get his first win, 98 races to be exact, and he's got 4 wins in the last 31 races. And it took Larson 98 races to get to his first win and collected 4 wins in the next 38 races. I think it took Bowman somewhere a little over 100, so not too far off from Chase and Larson. So I'm calling it now. Bowman's going to pick up 3 more quick ones. Some notables. Harvick finished 14th. Bowyer struggled all day. Kyle Busch finished 22nd. I think he was a lap down. Martin Truex Jr. finished 9th. The big three that we are typically used to seeing up front at the mile and a half, really not a factor this weekend at Chicago. Over to the standings, Joey Logano, Kyle Busch, Brad Keselowski, Kevin Harvick, Martin Truex Jr., Denny Hamlin, Chase Elliott, Kurt Busch, Alex Bowman up to 9th, Ryan Blaney, Eric Almirola, William Byron, Kyle Larson, Jimmy Johnson moved up a couple notches, Daniel Suarez in 15th, Clint Bowyer on the bubble, sitting there in 16th with 246, and Eric Jones is in 17th with 261. This Saturday, the Coke 400, Saturday night, last race at Daytona over the 4th of July weekend. What does it mean for you? For me, I've always enjoyed the race 4th of July weekend. Granted, sometimes it's fallen on the 4th and it ends up getting DVR'd because we have a pretty big barbecue on the 4th of July. But it's still fun, exciting, something to look forward to over the holiday weekend. I've enjoyed it. I like the Labor Day weekend. I like Memorial Day weekend racing. It's a staple for me. I like that. So it's been fun. All right. That is going to do it for the race talk from this past weekend at Chicago. And I am now going to drop in some interview clips that I was able to gather from this past weekend at Chicago. So I hope you guys enjoy this. Tyler, it's been a minute since you, Gus, and all the Youngs called into Lap Traffic Podcast earlier in the year. Yeah. Talk a little bit about, how the season's progressed for, it's funny, it's Youngs Motorsports. You guys are a young crew, mm-hmm. First year, everyone all together. Talk about how the season's progressed for the team as a whole.
I think it's been good. I think our mile and a half stuff has been really good. I think I've been progressing as, it's really my first time even racing on mile and a half this year. I think we need to do a lot better at our short track stuff. Everyone needs to get better as a whole. But other than that, I think there's a lot of positives to take out of, how the season's gone so far.
You guys have had, quite a few top 10s, top 15s. That's got to be looked at as a plus at some of these tracks that you've never even been to before, right?
Yeah, it's a positive for sure. I really don't want to be going for top 10s and top 15s. We want to do better. But, seeing that the small team that we are, I think we've been running a little bit better than that recently at the mile and a half, like Texas, we end up wrecking going for the lead. So, it's been getting better slowly, but just need to keep working on it.
You talk about getting better at short tracks. What's something that you yourself can do to improve at the short tracks?
I think it's just getting better as a team. I've grew up racing on short tracks. I just think our trucks need to get a little bit better there, but they kind of come a long way in the mile and a half.
Awesome. Thanks, Tyler. Appreciate it.
Hey, Justin, Lap Traffic Podcast. How's it going, man?
It's going good. How are you?
Good. Been a minute. MIS, last time we talked. Racked up another consistent finish. That's been the key with you guys. 14 Xfinity races, 10 top 10 finishes. What's the breaking point to start getting some top 5 finishes with you guys?
I don't know. We're just going to need to find some speed. Obviously, having Ross Chastain in our 10 car this weekend is going to help a little bit with that, with his experience. And obviously, He's a pretty hot topic right now. So what he's going to bring to the table with Colley Grayson is going to be big this weekend. You know, we've had Elliott Sadler come in, and we've had Austin Dillon come in, but it's actually a learning process for them guys to step into the Xfinity Series this year, and it's kind of been difficult to get direct translation from them. So having Ross come in and into the car has probably been the best thing that could happen to the 10 car this weekend, because he's so fresh with the Xfinity Series, and obviously he's been doing it a long time. So to get that speed we need for the top five, it's just making it perfect, you know, everywhere. We got to minimize mistakes, and we've been building slowly. Pit stops have been getting better, and relying on our RCR teammate Reddick, we've been coming with a pretty similar package as him. So there's a point where I was just like, put Reddick's package in and I'll figure out how to drive it, and we found the most success with that.
You mentioned Ross Chastain coming in and helping this weekend. What's something that you hope to be able to maybe pick up or learn from him this weekend to be able to use for your team going forward?
Well, I think this is a track that Ross will be good at anyway, just because of the character of driving he has. You know, I just hope that he just brings something to the table. He's newer at Colley Racing, right? He's done the super speedway races, which really don't mean anything in a driver aspect. So having him come over, and he's got a little bit different driving style than Reddick, because I lean on Reddick a lot. We all do. So just trying to get a little bit more information out of him. And we're pretty good friends. You know, we're in the Chevy deal together, and we were at Sonoma together last week, and as teammates, and a little bit of truck stuff last year. So I just hope, and I know he will bring something to the table, and he'll be fast this weekend. He'll be a top five car for sure. So just trying to pick his brain as much as I can and figure out how to get the race right. I feel like we've had speed in practice, but I've struggled in the race because of how big transitions these Xfinity cars take. And a truck, if you're good in practice, you'll be good in the race, and you'll be good all race. These Xfinity cars, you got to keep up with them throughout the whole day. At Iowa, we had a super fast car in the first stage, and we didn't keep up with it. And by the third stage, we were a 15th place car.
Awesome. Thanks, man. Jeff, the Mile and a Half program's been very strong. Top 10s, Atlanta, Texas, Charlotte. Can you lean on any one of those setups here for Chicago?
You know, I feel like Chicago is different. You know, as I said, it's such a multi-groove racetrack. You know, you can really make speed in different ways here. So, you know, I would compare this to almost like a Michigan or a Chicago, where you got the seams you got to worry about. You can run right up against the wall and be really, really fast. I mean, you see the past two races, Kyle Larson's just really, you know, put it on him running the fence. And, you know, that's a good way to make speed here. So there's not a whole lot of tracks you can do that and be able to find, you know, what works better for your car. I mean, you know, Allgaier was fast. He won in 2017 here running the bottom. So, you know, there's multiple different ways you can attack this weekend to win races. So I don't know that any of the mile and a half we've ran at you can quite use to prepare yourself for this weekend. But, you know, it is good knowing that you have had a lot of strengths at those tracks and can capitalize on them coming here.
Thank you.
We'll go all the way in the back there.
Hey, Chase, Brandon Crowd, Lap Traffic Podcast. You know, Joe Gibbs, Chevy dominance, Joe Gibbs, Penske dominance. You've got the lone Chevy win. Any extra pressure that you feel carrying, any type of burden or anything like that, trying to propel Chevy back into the discussion as we head into the summer season?
I mean, not really. I mean, it's you know, great to have a win. Certainly was a major group team Chevy effort to make that happen, so that was nice. You know, certainly anytime you can win is good, and it certainly helps. I think we're consistently from year to year, some of the races this year I feel like we've been, you know, a good bit better than what we were this time last year. At times we've certainly struggled some weeks too, but no, I mean, there's really no extra pressure on me or anybody. I mean, we all want to do good. You know, we don't want to see those guys win, you know, every other week. So I don't like it, but it doesn't mean I'm not trying or anybody's not trying. So that's just part of it right now. And, you know, I've watched this deal for a long time, and things kind of go up and down. You ride the roller coaster where it's at. We're going to ride it where we are right now, and I have confidence one day it'll turn around for us too.
Hey, Eric, how's it going?
Good, man.
Awesome. Hey, lots of talk, at least I've heard a little chatter, in terms of the racing surface out there. It's old. It's the original. Any comparison, or do you see it taking a character like Atlanta Motor Speedway has?
Yeah, I would say that. I would say Chicago is definitely one of the, you know, most worn out tracks we go to. Atlanta, I think, is the oldest pavement of all the tracks, and then Chicago, I think, follows closely behind. So I think it's fun. I think it's fun to come to these racetracks where the pavement's old and wore out, and we can kind of run all over the track. I enjoy that. It gives you options as a driver and makes it challenging to find grip and get the car set up the way you need it to.
Absolutely. You know, seeing in here a little bit of first practice, cars were grouped together all over the place. It was a little crazy out there for practice. What was your experience out there in practice, being a little bit more race than a practice?
Yeah, with the package we have now, you have to go out there and practice and put yourself in positions that you'll find yourself in the race. You know, running by yourself doesn't really tell you a lot other than just what the raw speed of your car is, but you really got to put yourself in traffic, because at different points throughout the race you're going to find yourself in that position. So it's important, you know, during practice to get a feel for what your car is going to do and how it's going to drive when you're in a pack of cars.
Awesome. Thanks, Eric. Yep, appreciate thanks. It. Clint Boyer, what's up, man? How's it going?
How are you?
I'm awesome. Thank you. Question for you. Does the track look like it's starting to take a little character like Atlanta right now in terms of the age of the surface and running like that at all?
It looked like that 10 years ago. So, yeah, it just keeps getting better.
It's awesome. Thank you. Goes perfectly. It's so awesome.
What the hell did you ask? How about the patches on the track? You know, they fixed on the track. What does it feel like, a bumper?
You know, I saw pictures of the patches, and I wasn't very impressed. I thought it looked like I did it. But when you get out there in a racetrack, it's fine. Nah, no big deal at all. I mean, keep patching them, man. You know, we've repaved these tracks, and in my opinion, on a mile and a half, it was a step back. So as long as you can keep patching them up and keep making them, you know, safe and raceable and competitive without having trouble and coming apart, I say keep doing it.
How are you looking at the race itself then?
Just same way everybody else is, probably worried. You know, not really knowing. It's such a hard thing to get a balance on these cars when you're holding them all but wide open and not, you know, letting out of the gas and unlocking that locker and using the tools that we've grown accustomed to using over the years. It just presents a whole new problem, you know, a whole new challenge for all of us within the industry and drivers included. I mean, it's just hard to get the balance on that thing, to free it up enough to where it'll roll through that corner, you know, with the throttle down and not unlock the locker, but then again, not be too loose to where it starts, you know, tank swapping and coming out from underneath. That'd be a very, very tight window as far as, you know, one way or another.
Well, guys, hope you enjoyed that compilation of clips there from Tyler Dipple, Justin Haley, Jeffrey Earnhardt, Chase Elliott, Eric Almirola, Clint Boyer. Can't believe I was able to talk to all those guys, get those interview clips for you guys. So awesome. Had a lot of fun with that. And like I said, it's intimidating, like I said, being in these areas with the real media, so to speak. But still a ton of fun. And so awesome to be able to put that together for you guys there. If you notice a little audio change there, that's just because, you know, the mic's out on the road at the track. It's not going through the mixer. It's recorded through the phone on a recording equipment there and then playing back through the mixer there. So that's why the quality might be a touch off from what you're used to there. But I will take it nonetheless. And that is going to wrap up the talk from this past weekend at Chicagoland. Just great weekend. I had so much fun. All right, time for a little social media. Everybody, make sure you check out the website, thelaptrafficpodcast.com. Like on Facebook, The Lap Traffic Podcast. Follow on Twitter, at LapTrafficPC, and on Instagram, The Lap Traffic Podcast. Make sure you check out the show on iTunes, Podbean, Stitcher, Google Play, TuneIn, Blueberry, Acast, Spreaker, or wherever you listen to your podcasts. And do me a favor, leave a review on iTunes. That would be huge. Follower count is up over 3,600 followers, which is awesome. Got the giveaway at 5,000 followers for the rear quarter panel there. And I am going to be ordering some new shirts and some other swag this probably this weekend. So hopefully I'll get it by the end of next week. So mid-July, I'll have some giveaways for some smaller ones to help push to 5,000 followers. Speaking of followers, over on Twitter, some new followers, Podcast Wrestling Society, at Pod Rest Society, part of the Big Heads Media Network. You guys know I'm a diehard wrestling fan, so I'll be checking out that one for sure. Philip Berkner at Berkner Philip from North Carolina loves racing and used to be a flagman. That's pretty cool. Byron LaFleur Jr. at Original Big Bry. Diecast news guy and a big NASCAR collector. I've already reached out to him because I had a question about diecast. So thank you very much there, sir. And Joshua Hammond at AU Josh 66 from North Carolina. Brad Keselowski fan. Dawn Marie at Dr. Dawn Marie 14, a Harvick fan. And Andrew Broadwater at AJ Broad H2O underscore 24. Big Chase Elliott fan. Big shout out to Kathleen at KHI fan. Got to see her this weekend at the track, which was awesome. Mike Novak at MikeN328. Got to say hi to him and his wife. Tom at Big Homer fan and Carlton at underscore Carlton. Got to see those guys at the track. And Eric at T Super Speedway from Michigan. Make sure you go check his stuff out at thesuperspeedway.com. Great to know him, get to know a fellow Michigander, and hang out with him a bit this weekend. And let's see what else. Oh, shout out to Toby Christie at Toby underscore Christie, host of The Final Lap. He puts the lap traffic show on his website, and I will be on his show this week. In fact, I'm calling in tonight after I get done with episode 135 of the Lap Traffic Podcast. So looking forward to that. New merch is on the website, thelaptrafficpodcast.com. Got some awesome new t-shirts there. Go check that out. Stickers and koozies are always available. If you want one, visit the website. Go fill out the contact page, and I'll get you one sent out to you. And speaking of the contact page, if you want to be a part of the listener call-in show on Thursday, July 18th, I believe it is, fill out the contact page, and I will get you registered. I think I got three or four spots left, so come be a part of the show that you love to listen to. And go check out Big Heads Media at Big Heads Media. Got another promo for one of the awesome podcasts you can hear on the Big Heads Media Network right now for you.
This is Brew Crime, a craft beer and true crime podcast.
I'm Mike.
I'm Beck.
And I'm Nina.
And we're your hosts.
We pair a true crime story with a craft beer
that Nina will probably hate.
Yeah, probably.
Whatever. You can find our show on all your favorite podcast apps, and if you can't find it, contact us and we'll try and change that.
We can be found at brewcrime.com or on Twitter at brewcrime, on Facebook at brewcrime, or if you want to go to our group, it's group/brewcrime on Facebook or on Instagram at Pacific Beer Chat.
Join us as we discuss the horrible crime.
Nina, I am with you there. I am not a craft beer drinker, but or a beer drinker at that. But there are plenty of NASCAR fans that are. So go check out Brew Crime. And if you're like me, you're going to have a tasty vodka Red Bull while you drink it, not a craft, or while you listen to it, and not a craft beer. All right. Business is done. Let's get things going. Let's cue up this week's weather report from Mr. Brian Newdorf. See what happened this past weekend at Chicago and see what he's got in store for us for this weekend at Daytona.
Hey, Lap Traffic Nation. This is meteorologist Brian Newdorf, known to many of you as your friendly neighborhood NASCAR weatherman. Hopefully you'll get a chance to see Far From Home this weekend. Had to give my little Spidey reference in there. What a weekend, and I think weather was the story for the most part. It was great to see Alex Bowman winning, and of course the race at the end there with Kyle Larson. But as a meteorologist, it is my job to focus. Let's talk about what went wrong early on in this in the week with the forecast. I know the forecast looked very good up until about Wednesday, and then things began to change. We started seeing these possibility of these complexes, we call these MCSs in weather, moving into the Chicagoland area as we got into the weekend. And of course, the timing of those can be very, very challenging. They're very hard to be, they're just hard sometimes, and we can't really see them until we get closer to the event. So Monday or Tuesday, where there was no way for us to really anticipate that. Once we saw it, I started lowering my odds of racing. So by race day, my odds were 70% odds of racing with delays. I think we got that. Definitely with the long delay, but the big story is, and maybe the big question is, and I'd like to know what many of you think, should NASCAR have run the first 12 laps? Should they have started the laps, or should they have started the race with those conditions coming? The one tweet I'm going to be known for with this particular event was kind of saying, hey, I don't know what NASCAR's doing, but fans need to seek shelter as that storm was approaching. And those can pick up speed when they have outflow boundaries. And that had a history of producing 65 to even 70 mile an hour winds, which I would be easily to say that we saw 60 to 65 mile an hour winds at the track just from the damage I saw from the banners to flags to tents. And even some of the pit boxes and stuff like that definitely took the brunt. And I think we were very lucky at the track that there was no injuries. And I'm hoping, I think finally they made the right decision, finally bringing cars in as that got closer and the lightning. You could see lightning around, hear thunder. And those are typically rules. Apparently NASCAR now has a rule of about 8 miles. But you can get struck by lightning within 10, 14. If you're not careful. So I'm glad they have a radius, but knowing that whole area was closing in on them, I would have just waited and not started the race and focused on fan safety, getting everybody to safety first, and then we could have revisited it. I think, and I knew we had a break, and I'm glad we got the race in. A lot of people tell me that we weren't even going to race at all, but I had a feeling and knew we would get there. So that's obviously the big story and how things played out. We got lucky in my opinion. I'm just glad nobody got injured. There was no serious problems from the weather outside of some damage from tents and to some of the track stuff. But overall, we got lucky and, I'm just glad we ended up getting a good race. And speaking of a good race, what a finish. Glad to see, somebody other than the people who have been winning, a first timer as well, but, Alex Bowman getting the win. Hendricks actually having a showing. Does this mean we're starting to see other teams finally catch up, or was this an anomaly with what we had going on at Chicago? We'll have to wait and see. Of course, a wild card, any kind of super speedway, is when you get into Daytona, and what we're going to see there weather-wise, it is your typical Daytona weather that we're going to see going into that weekend, Thursday, Friday, and Saturday. We're going to see areas of scattered showers and thunderstorms. I'd say the odds of any kind of racing Thursday and Friday. Possible delays for qualification and practices, but I'd say the odds are about 75-80%. Now, it's Saturday at this point that I'd say we've got a bigger concern of showers and thunderstorms off and on throughout the day, afternoon, and evening. We'll watch that closely. At this point, I'm going to go 60% odds of racing for Saturday. There may be delays. It could potentially be postponed. I'm not going to go completely negative on this one, but it is Florida. It's going to be hot. It's going to be humid, and we're going to be dealing with Florida-type thunderstorms. But on Saturday, the concern is going to be a stall boundary to be the trigger for showers and thunderstorms during the day on Saturday. So, hey, Lap Traffic Nation, thanks for always checking us out. Follow me on Twitter at NASCAR_WXMAN, as well as finding me on Facebook. And, of course, if you feel inclined or you like the information I put out, I could always use the help. Check us out over on Patreon. Greatly appreciate that as well. More to come on my announcement of where I'm moving to. I'm moving to Louisville, but what I'm doing, look to Twitter for that. Thanks a lot, and back to you, Brandon.
Ah, Mr. Brian Newdorf, thank you so much for the clip, as always. And yeah, you know, there was definitely some talk about should NASCAR have gotten that race started. It was close. There is that 8 mile radius, but storms move in. Those grandstands are high up. I couldn't imagine if they had to clear out, 80,000 people. That could have taken a minute to get all of those people out of the grandstand there. But nonetheless, like you said, doesn't look like there were any injuries or anything like that, which is good. And definitely looking forward to this weekend at Daytona. Unfortunately, it looks like Mother Nature might play a role as well. I will not be there, so it will not be my fault this time. Definitely look forward to some 4th of July racing as well. Thanks again, Brian, and look forward to your clip next week. All right, let's keep the show rolling. It is time for some Lucky Dog and Lap Down Picks. You guys know what that sound means. It's time for your Lucky Dog and Lap Down Picks from the race weekend. You guys know the drill. After the race, you can tweet your Lucky Dog and Lap Down Picks. I'll read them back, tag you guys in some stuff after the show, or you can call the Wave Around hotline, 248-965-9538. Leave your picks there, and I will play them on the show. All right, it is time for my picks of the weekend. My Lucky Dog, Chicagoland. Great host, great races. Thank you guys so much. Appreciate it. Can't wait to come back. My lap down for the weekend is the apparent new
weather curse that's hanging over the Lap Traffic Podcast. That thing's got to go. All right, over to your tweeted responses. Eddie at EG3 underscore Fast Eddie's lucky dog. Dylan Lupton, great to see him mix it up in the back end of the top 10 for a majority of the night. Lap down, Boyers, bad luck continues. Scott at 1985, Wagner's lucky dog, Bowman. Way to not finally be the bridesmaid any longer. Lap down, Kyle Busch, when was the last time he was lap traffic? Da-da-tsh. FYI, Scott is now taking donations for fantasy picks as he killed Allgaier and Busch this weekend with his picks. I'm right along there with you, sir. I can be bought. Eric at Eric S18 underscore nines, lucky dog HMS, getting a win and all four cars in the top 11. Lap down Kyle Busch's bad day and Harvick's tire troubles again. I'm with you. Clayton at Joey Logano Fan 22's lucky dog Bowman finally getting that first cup win. Great job by all the HMS drivers. Lap down Harvick still searching for that first win this season. Mick at GoDucks 42 underscore Mick's lucky dog has to be Bowman, right? I think so. Lap down Boyer. He is on a run of bad luck lately. A few weeks ago was top 10 in points and now on the cutoff. Jesse at Iowa NASCAR Fans, lucky dog Bowman, such a great move to retake the lead from Larson. Lap down Boyer, another bad finish courtesy of bad luck. He might be racing for his job over the next couple months. Ooh, it's a bold take there. John at D Nader's lucky dog NASCAR Heat. He used the voucher and is now going to the race in September in Las Vegas. That's very cool. It's nice to know that works. Lap down the victory interview with Bowman winning his first race. His excitement was stuck in the mud like his car. Ooh, burn. Like it. All right, guys, those are the tweeted responses. Let's get to the calls on the Wave Around Hotline.
Hey, Brandon. It's Kathleen at KHI Fan. It was great seeing you at Chicagoland over the weekend. I was there for Cup. I skipped Xfinity. I was also there for the ARCA and the truck race. On Saturday night, I went to the dirt track across the road. As far as the race is concerned, with the heat and humidity we had, I think we were expecting one race, and we got a completely different one after that weather blew through and dropped the temperature about 20 degrees. I think it would have been something way different had it been hot. And it probably changed it for the better. I was very happy Moffitt won, especially after apparently people were dogging him and hating on him after what happened at Iowa. And I really don't understand that. He had nothing to do with it. So that's pretty weird. I really enjoyed the Cup race. It was fun watching Byron run so well. It would have been cool to see Chad Knaus get his only win at his home state track at Chicagoland. And it was fun watching Jimmy up there, too. And it would have been fun to see him get his first Cup win there. I think that's the only track, or obviously one of the very few tracks he's never won at. So that would have been exciting. But that didn't happen. I'm going to give my lucky dog to Bowman. He certainly has paid his dues over the years, and he didn't give up after having some rough setbacks early in his career. It's really cool that he's now finished in every spot from 43rd all the way up finally to first. So that's a cool stat. I don't really think I have a lucky or a lap down this week. I can't think of anything negative. Though maybe under that category, I might want to put Harvick, Boyer, and Hamlin. They're certainly having a rough go of things. And Denny's are all, you know, team created, I think. So that's their problem. And then Harvick and Boyer are just, they're just not, they're getting okay finishes at the end. But, you know, if they weren't having all those setbacks, think of where they'd be. Anywho, that's all I have for now, and I'll talk to you later. Bye.
Oh, Kathleen, great to see you at Chicago. So much fun. Man, you covered a lot of racing this past weekend with the ARCA, the dirt race, and all that. That's so awesome that you're able to make that happen. And, yeah, that weather was intense. That was crazy. Definitely
change the racing conditions. That type of temperature swing, you know, guys were begging for water and ice packs and all that Friday and Saturday. And man, after that rain came through, it dropped that temperature. Something fierce. Definitely changed the racing for sure. All right, let's see here. We got one more on the Wave Around Hotline.
What up, Brandon? What a fun day we saw at Chicago, man. My man Alex Bowman got his first career win. So excited for him. That's a cool story. A guy driving for the Buttholes of BK and Tommy Baldwin Racing and getting fired on Twitter, and he's come a really long way in his career. And it's kind of refreshing to see a guy like that who, you know, really had to work his way up through the ranks and get his first win in the 88 car, a very famous car driven by, you know, Hall of Famers and future Hall of Famers. So that's cool as shit. So Bowman's my easy lucky dog. I'm going to put the rest of Hendrick minus one lucky dog as well. So Jimmy Johnson, William Byron, they're also going to be my lucky dogs. I thought the battle for that lead was great. It was really refreshing to see a long green run at the end, which I don't mind, but it gets frustrating sometimes you see a long green run and the guy wins by, you know, 3 or 4 seconds. So it's fun to see a long green run at a battle for the lead after. It's not something you see often, but when you do see it, it's really fun. So watching those two, Bowman and Larson, really battle for the lead. I thought when Larson got by, I'm like, oh, it's over. Larson's going to win. You know, Bowman's going to get another second place finish, but he didn't. So happy for that. My lap down is going to be Chase Elliott's air hose. That sucked, and it also really killed me in fantasy. So that, you know, killed me. It took me probably lost about 5 points for that, so that's fantastic. But luckily my fantasy picks were okay there. We're still, you know, in the bomb shelter. So, you know, Brand, you and I have nice little rooms in the bomb shelter of the Lap Traffic Fantasy League. So if you stay on your side of the bomb shelter and I stay on my side, yeah, we'll be good. Do
you
have a good one, man.
Oh, I love it. Yes, we are definitely in the depths as far as the lap traffic fantasy is concerned there. You mentioned a good point there in terms of having a good finish from a green flag run. You know, you can see good finishes all day long when you're restarting with, you know, 5-3 to go, whatever it is. But when you can have a green flag run and have a good finish, that makes it extra exciting, extra special. Good call there, sir. All right, that is going to do it for this week's Lucky Dog and Lap Down Picks, and it is time to close this thing out with a little fantasy. Lapped Traffic Nation, dude just can't stay away, Kenny. I got to tell you, our new leader in first, getting him on early for the whole fantasy segment here. You know who he is, Mr. Aaron Studwell. Sir, good evening.
Good evening, sir. How are you?
Good. Welcome to the lead of the Lap Traffic Fantasy. Is this your first time at the forefront there?
It is, and I think I might have been just as stunned as you were when you texted me yesterday. It's like, you're in first. It's like, it's not official, but you're in first. I'm like, okay. I knew I had a good weekend, but I didn't think it was that good. Well, I knew it was a good weekend. It could have been a little bit better, and we'll talk about that after, but no, I didn't think it was enough to vault me to first.
Well, at least someone from Lap Traffic's representing up at the top, because I sure as hell aren't up there. Lap Traffic Nation, just a reminder, get your picks in by 5 o'clock Eastern Standard Time on Friday. There are 10 races to go in Segment 2. Winning picks this week, 10 players picked Moffitt, 12 players with Custer, and no one took Bowman. Apparently no one saw that one coming, but 4 players had Custer and Moffitt there. So nice job there. Week high was 158 points by Mr. Aaron Studwell. Nice job there, sir, with your picks of Larson, Custer, and Moffitt. Almost had the sweep there. You're one spot off.
I was hoping for the trifecta, but yes. Then I'm like, well, it'd be really cool to see Bowman get his first win, but it'd be even cooler to go for the triple.
Right. See, that's when you know you're serious about lap traffic. When you're rooting for that kind of play out there. I think there's only been one trifecta this year, maybe two. I know Brett Moore, B. Wayne had one a couple weeks ago. Second place week high was Evan Van Beelen with 139 with his picks of Martin Truex, Cole Custer, and Stuart Friesen. And I am giving myself honorable mentions with 136 points, my highest week to date, with my picks of Harvick, Custer, and Enfinger. So I'm mentioning my name there just because I can. So you were...
The benefit of having your own show.
That's right. That's right. You were just 2 points off from, or I'm sorry, 3 points off from tying the season high of 161 that was set way back at Atlanta. So, yeah. So almost had it.
Well, another week coming up, although
that would be a challenge. That's for sure.
Yes.
Let's see here. Top 10 with 10 to go. In segment two, Mr. Aaron Studwell in first with 532. Eric McCollum in second with 509. David James in third with 505. John Etwinsel in fourth with 499. John Warrington in fifth with 497. Two-way tie in sixth with 495 with David Mullins and Paul Hollenbach. In seventh with 494 is Evan Van Beelen. In eighth with 492 is Matt Crowd. In ninth with 491 is John King, and wrapping out the top 10 is 487 is Mr. Chad Robb. So it's still close. It is anybody's game, as Aaron Studwell here, sir. You saw that. You jumped up quite a bit.
Yeah. Again, I was surprised. It was, it's nice to be on top.
Should That's what she that? Said.
Yeah. Oh, we're going to put a PG-13 rating on the show now.
Oh, I love it. I love it. All right, over to the top five cumulative. Let's see. Mr. Greg Whited is still in first with 1779. Mr. Matt Crowd is celebrating Independence Day with 1776. Robert Keplinger in third with 1766. Ted Anderson in fourth with 1759, and John Entwistle and Jess Rose are in fifth with 1751. So nice job there, guys. Sir, what did you think of the race in this past weekend?
I really enjoyed it. The more I watched, start with the Cup race. The more I watched the Cup race, the more I really enjoyed it, especially the last stage. It was interesting. It was an interesting situation with the late start, and I've working through it at work, and we had it on a big screen, fortunately. It was a great weekend of racing. I really enjoyed it, and I'm happy with the results.
Yeah, no, I'll take it. I enjoyed it. I thought all three races were good. I could get if people maybe thought Saturday was a little bit of a snooze fest just because Custer was out there dominating all race. I get that, but you know, there were still some exciting moments, and the truck race was great. And, you know, the Cup race finished delivered. So, you know, it's last five laps are really all that mattered there. So,
you know, they outraced the rain. And I'll tell you what, and talk about the weather, a little bit about the weather on that Cup race. Oh, my God. I've just never seen. And just some of the people we were talking to at the track and telling them, okay, that wind goes through, and okay, now comes the real part of the storm. Drake, what do you mean the real part of the storm?
Yeah, that was
because the winds came through, and the rains hadn't even shown up yet.
It was intense, man. It was. I mean, it was colors in the sky that you're just not used to seeing, and sounds that you're not used to hearing. I said at the top of the show, the last time I heard wind make noises like that was during a tropical storm in the Caribbean. Like, it was an intense storm.
No, and that was a real intense storm, and you know, part of the job I do at work, at my current job, was to monitor that situation, and we watched it all the way in, and then luckily the rain held off at that 9 o'clock hour, and there we got the finish in. And did it start raining before you left?
It did not. I got to the car and made it back without any issues. So
good.
Yes. All right, sir, you ready to make some picks?
I am. All right. One is a little iffy, and the other one I'm solid about was a good backup pick. Let's go.
All right. We are headed back to Daytona for the Cope 400, or more appropriately, the Firecracker 400. It was always this race that Smoke would seem to go on his summer terror. He picked up 4 wins in July, but just never able to get that 500 win. Eric Jones picked up his first career win last year at this race, which ended up a wreck fest. Ricky Stenhouse picked up the July win back in 2017. And Bad Brad got to wave the red, white, and blue when he picked up the July win back in 2016. Last year, with Eric Jones' win, was Toyota's first July win at Daytona since Kyle Busch did it back in 2008. Can Toyota make it back-to-back July wins and three in a row at Daytona? Can someone from Team Chevy keep the momentum going from Bowman's win this past weekend? Or does the Blue Oval get it done, likely with Brad or Joey, who are no strangers to Victory Lane in Daytona? We will find out Saturday night, but first, it is time for our picks. Sir, who do you have for the Xfinity Series race?
I am going to go with Tyler Reddick, who's going to go for his fourth win of the season.
Solid pick there, sir. I'm going to try to continue the streak and points that I did and obtained. I'm going to go a little outside the box. Somebody I've never picked for the Xfinity Series before. I am going with Austin Cindric for the Xfinity race.
My backup pick, and I think it's going to be interesting to see how he does, because the last time I saw his name, he was doing the broadcast for the 6 hours of Le Mans at Watkins Glen, was AJ Allmendinger.
Nice. I like that. He's going to be fun to watch. That is for sure. Over to the Cup race, sir. Who do you got?
I'm putting the Blue Oval back in Victory Lane, but not who you may think. I'm going to go with the Rocket Man flying Ryan Newman for his first win since 2017 at ISM Phoenix.
Wow. You are hanging it all out there. That's going to make or break, I think, you staying in first place there.
I believe it will. He has run solid there. Run consistently solid stage points, which I've learned earlier this year.
and we know no one's going to pass him. So.
Yeah, exactly. He's just going to qualify well. That's right.
All right. I am going with the bridesmaid from this past weekend. I'm going with Kyle Larson to get a little redemption and to keep the Chevy momentum going. So that's who I got this weekend. Mr. Aaron Studwell, thank you so much for calling in. And who knows? Maybe we'll get to talk to you next week, sir.
I certainly hope so. It's great being back, and especially in this function.
Absolutely, man. I think you've covered just about every segment on the show. I think you've got down now.
I think you're right, except for all the like hosting Lap Down and Lucky Dog.
Yeah, that's right. Well, hey, we might have to fix that at some point. So
that actually sounds like a great idea.
All right, man. Sounds good. We'll talk to you later. Have a great 4th of July.
Thank you, sir. You too.
All right. Thanks, man. We'll see you.
Bye.
All right, Lap Traffic Nation, that is going to do it for episode 135 of the Lap Traffic Podcast. Make sure you check out the website, thelaptrafficpodcast.com. Like on Facebook, The Lap Traffic Podcast. Follow on Twitter, @LapTrafficPC. Subscribe, download, go leave a review. Don't forget about the new merch on the website. Check out Freddie the Pizza Man's Autism Charity Link. Big thanks to Colt Custer, Brian Newdorf, Aaron Studwell for calling into the show. I'm going to see what I can put together for next week. Everybody have a great, safe 4th of July. Don't get caught chasing the lucky dog. Make sure you tune in each and every week to the Lap Traffic Podcast. I'm out of here. See ya!